Okay, time for Fast Track. It's presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, Momo, coin flip time. Let's see, what game do we go? Tonight we got the Clippers and the Jazz. Call okay, it in the sure. air. Who do you like?
I like the Clippers.
Really?
Jazz it is.
Yeah.
Jazz it is.
Yeah, why not?
I'm
just going the other direction. I like having games here at Staples Center.
I like elect travel. To defer, Momo. No advantage goes with that. Take it away.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Victoria's Secret. Ooh. Okay, Victoria's Secret.
Listen
has signed Ooh, soccer no. star.
Charles Barkley said that's not a secret in San Antonio. Don't you love it when he goes there?
Man. Okay. We played that clip yesterday, too.
Oh, he's funny.
Victoria's Secret has signed soccer star and World Cup winner Megan Rapinoe in a desperate bid to rebuild its brand and appeal to a broader market. This is from the New York Post. New York Post on page 6. The beleaguered lingerie giant is relaunching and moving away from its traditionally rail-thin models by introducing the VS Collective with the diverse leading icons and changemakers, including Megan Rapinoe, to shape the future of the brand, an industry insider told Page Six. Mace, what would it take for you to ever pose in something like this, like the body issue or Victoria's Secret? I actually think it's pretty a good move for them because Megan Rapinoe is like the
Well, I don't
woman.
Know if I would be a match at all for Victoria's Secret. But
probably not.
What about Calvin Victor's Klein Secret. Underwear?
Yeah, Calvin Klein underwear. Some kind of a racy thing.
Mace, you could be in Victor's Secret.
Victor's Secret. Yeah, well, you know, for the right price, I would do it. I've always said that, does ESPN still have the body issue of
Yeah,
the
they
magazine?
Have the body issue. What would you do?
I would probably be, I'd golf.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
It'd be my swing.
Yeah.
And I would be covered by, you know, a golf bag and
golf clubs. Hey, with some clubs.
So you would do it? You would do the body issue, like, without getting paid?
I think everybody here should do the body issue. I think it would be a total sensation to
let's
do it.
Let's do an ESPN 710 calendar, body issue style calendar.
Yeah, Mace, and pose nude and hold a travel guide in front of a strategic place. Since you like
there
to
you
travel.
Go. There
yeah,
you go.
That's a good one. Or some donuts. Box of donuts.
As far as Victoria's Secret, I mean, they do need to reinvent the brand. I just don't think, Momo, you would know better. Do women still, like, do they still wear lingerie, or is it basically, have we gone to a world of sweatpants and hoodies?
Tell us, Ramona, tell us.
Okay, you want me to get way too personal?
Yes, of course.
That's
why we asked.
I just think it's a lot of work, and the truth is, like, for guys, do you guys really need that?
Oh, yeah, man, like that. Don't be horny.
You but do you need it? Do you really need it?
I mean, Lindsay, what do you think? Do men need it?
I don't think they need it, but I think they like it. And let me say, as a woman myself, I would rather be the one purchasing the lingerie because I feel like nothing is worse than when a guy gets a girl, like a guy gets their wife or girlfriend or whatever, tacky lingerie. Like, ew, you want me to wear that?
Yeah, when it comes to that stuff, Brenda's the one that says, hey, let me be in there and I'll do my thing.
I gotta be honest. Like if you want to get some lingerie, like Victoria's Secret has a pretty good brand. I mean, it's just known as like a lingerie brand.
Well, when you see a Norville in fishnet Speedo, what does that do for you?
I don't need that.
Ew, no.
We still have a really good life in that direction, in that way, I guess. I don't know.
I say all the time,
like,
it doesn't work
that way. The
truth
is, like, it's all just going to come off pretty quick anyway.
Okay, let's move to the next one.
That's interesting.
All right.
Last track.
Coca-Cola.
I just wear my Laker uniform. Yeah.
Coca-Cola is the sponsor of the European Soccer Cup.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yesterday, during a Cristiano Ronaldo press conference, there were two bottles of Coke sitting there. Ronaldo immediately pushed them aside, held up his water, and said, drink agua.
Yeah.
Now, by the time he was done with the press conference, shares of Coke dropped by 1.5%.
Oh, come on.
Lopping $4 billion off the total value of the company.
No way.
Damn.
Did Ronaldo do anything wrong here? And are you surprised that something as small as this could result in a $4 billion loss?
Yeah, he definitely did something wrong. Because if Coke paid a sponsor to be on that table, you can't be doing that. They paid, that's a sponsorship pay, and I'm surprised they allowed him to do that. They paid for that Coke bottle to be there. And you have to respect that as an athlete.
Are you surprised that the company lost $4 billion?
Yeah, because Coke is so popular. I can't believe anybody would not buy Coke just because Ronaldo says drink water. Just
like that's the world we live in.
Brand.
Yeah, that is the world we live in. Momo, are you surprised?
No, I'm not. Because I think that's a real rejection. It's not only that he took the Coke off the table, he got some water out and he said, water. And he put up a Portuguese water. I mean, you remember back in the Dream Team, like Michael Jordan, like wanted to wear Nike and it was, right. They were sponsored by Reebok.
Yeah.
And he would like cover up the Reebok or something, right? Like it was a big, I mean, this is a real thing.
Now, can Coke come after him and sue him for that
I don't think so. Would you, I think it'd be a really bad look to try to sue Cristiano Ronaldo. But basically, they got one of the faces of international soccer to reject their product on a very public stage.
Right.
And, if I was the European Soccer Cup or whatever European soccer governing organization, I think I would definitely say something to Ronaldo and explain, hey, this is a sponsor. You got to let that coach sit there and don't be bagging on the sponsor, essentially he did.
You know what they should have done? They should have, I guess they'll probably do this now after the fact. Since he doesn't want to support Coca-Cola and he wants you to drink water, put one of the Coke-branded waters up there. Because they make Aquafina, or Dasani, one of those.
They make Dasani.
Yeah, Dasani. So they should have put one of the Coke-branded waters there. At least
do
that.
You know what's weird, though? Like, we all have to do ads, right, that I don't necessarily get paid for or whatever it is. But I also, he's not sponsored by Coke.
No.
Like, he's, like, the
guy
is.
It's a good point.
He doesn't owe anything to them. I mean, he's playing in the tournament, and I don't know what it says in their player contracts with the national team, but you have all sorts of, like, sponsorship things that conflict, right?
But Coke paid to be prominent on that table.
On that
table. Imagine if that were LeBron and, like, Coke sponsored the NBA Finals.
Right.
LeBron would not be sitting there he's a Pepsi guy. He would never allow a bottle of Pepsi to sit up there.
Well, if Coke paid
Coke
for it,
to sit up there.
But if Coke paid for it, you got to allow it to be there.
Yeah.
But if he personally endorses the whatever it's Coke or Pepsi, then he would want whatever that bottle is up there.
Yeah, and they're getting a lot of advertising with their product next to him, even though he's not making money off it.
Right. But that's what they pay for, Ramona.
They pay the tournament for that.
How do you think these guys make $50 million a year?
Yeah.
Do you think the NBA just goes out and picks money off of trees?
He's probably got his own deal with a water company.
Well, what's weird is he formerly was a spokesperson for
Coke. He's a Sprite. LeBron's with Sprite. Is that Pepsi?
Yeah. Yeah, no,
LeBron
it's part
is
of
with
Coke.
Sprite.
Sprite is part of Coke.
Oh, well, there you go.
Missed this Pepsi.
Yeah.
All right.
I got one.
It's to you.
I got one.
I'm asking, I have a basketball question and I have a fatherhood question. So I'm doing that because Michael's here, okay?
All right.
Kevin Hart is all for being honest with his kids.
Too.
All right?
Yeah, that's right.
Even if it's not the easiest conversation. The actor opened up in an interview with Romper about how he deals with telling his kids about his scandals, such as cheating on his wife when she was 8 months pregnant with their first child. Quote, you have to talk to your kids about it because it's going to come out. And some of them are cool about it. Some of them are not, depending on the situation. You have to understand the different personalities and manage them correctly. He has 4 kids. One's 8 months old. One's 3. Another's 13. Another is 16. And he says, unfortunately, there's a gift and a curse that comes with being my child. The gift is the life that you're able to live. The curse is the spotlight that's on you constantly.
Hmm.
Do you think this is the right move? Do you think this is the right parenting move here, Michael? I know that you haven't had a lot of scandals.
You mean to have to tell his kids what he did?
Yeah,
because they're 16 or 13. They understand what's going on. So, you have to be upfront with them.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to find out. Yeah, there are no secrets anymore.
Exactly.
Because of Google.
Yeah, exactly.
All you got to do is Google somebody or look at their Wikipedia page or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you can absolutely find out. So, I think it's better to have that conversation.
Definitely.
Sooner rather than later, because otherwise they're going to hear it from kids at school, kids at the schoolyard, kids on the team, whatever. They're going to bring it up and throw it in their face. So I think it's better to sit them down and say, look, this is what happened, and daddy's sorry for it, or whatever it happens to be, because otherwise they're going to hear from it somewhere else.
And they're going to say something they're going to say something to them. They're going to say something back.
Right.
And then whatever I actually think the other thing is you give them a line. When you're asked about this at school or when you're asked about this, whatever, this is what you say.
Yeah.
Because whatever they say, that could TMZ could totally show up at their school.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yep.
No question.
Get them on camera.
Question.
Yep.
All right, it's to me.
Woo. Fast track.
Derek Carr has been the quarterback for the Raiders for 7 years. Every year we hear rumors that the Raiders may trade him or may try to replace him as a starter. Yesterday at minicamp, Carr told reporters if he was ever traded by the Raiders, he would probably quit. Do you have that, Jorge? Standing by. Derek Carr telling reporters if he was ever traded by the Raiders, he would probably quit. He says, I am a Raider for my entire life. I'm going to root for one team for the rest of my life. It's the Raiders.
Wow.
I'm that old school mentality. I'm playing for one team and that's it. Whether we've won enough or not, I literally give every bit of energy and effort that I can to this organization. I'm from Fresno. Born in Fresno. My dad worked in the car business. My mom was a substitute teacher, all different kinds of stuff at church. So we didn't have a whole bunch of stuff growing up, so I don't need much. Do you take Derek Carr at his word? Do you think he would quit the game if the Raiders ever traded him?
No. How old is he? 30
on the dot.
No, yeah. He's going to quit at 30, 31 years of age and walk away from, I don't know, $20 million a year for the next 5 or 6 years? No. No way.
Yeah, I don't either. It's a really nice sentiment. It's a nice thing
to
say.
Right.
But it's like, come on, man. You play football your whole life.
Yeah, really, he's kind of taking away any leverage the Raiders would have if they try to trade him. This threat that I'll just quit.
That's true.
His accountant will, is he married? He's married, right? Yeah, he's married.
Yeah, he's married.
Kids,
he's got a couple kids.
His wife would talk some sense into him. You're going to walk away from $180 million? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
But, Michael, how much do you really need?
As many as you can get. Because you know what? Even if you don't need it, you could help other people with the money.
Yeah, his lifetime earnings, I was just pulling up, are $125 million.
Wow.
So that's $60 million after taxes. Then count on $1 million a year that he's been living on and probably, you know, whatever, so helping people. So he's down to like $45
million. Oh, God, so down to $45 million.
Now, don't
what
you want to make
a struggle
don't,
that must
yeah,
be.
Don't you want to put away another $30 million after taxes?
Yeah, yeah.
So
let me ask you the related question, because there are stories that John Gruden isn't happy with Derek Carr. Are you, Momo, as a Raiders fan, happy with Derek Carr at quarterback?
Depends on what my other options are.
Yeah, you know.
So it sounds like you're not.
A bunch of Aaron Rodgers ain't out there growing on trees.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you can get Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to do that trade, man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm happy with him for now.
Who else are you going to get? Andy Dalton?
Know. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go get somebody just to get somebody, but if it's, like, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, some star.
Last year had a really good quarterback rating, over 101.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. He's a good quarterback.
Through 27 touchdowns versus 9 picks.
Not everybody can beat Patrick Mahomes or my boy Lamar Jackson, you know.
Yeah. No.
Well, here's
not
what I'd say.
Can.
I've heard this story before. Chauncey Billups actually did that when he got amnestied by the Knicks. Do you remember this? He kind of sent word like, "Don't claim me. If you claim me, I'll just retire. Mm-hmm. I want to pick my next franchise. I deserve that. I've earned this. Blah blah blah." Clippers claimed him. Remember that?
Yeah.
Claimed him off the amnesty wire.
Right.
And then Neil Olshey, who was the GM at the time, had a big heart to heart with Chauncey and said, "Chauncey, come on.
Yeah, right.
You really gonna retire?
Yeah, exactly.
We're about to trade for Chris Paul. Come on, man." Come on, give me a shot.
Yep.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, and the rest is history.
And he might go be the coach.
So nobody's buying it. Everybody thinks Derek Carr is going to stay even if he gets traded.
Oh,
he's not going to quit.
You could think about all the athletes who walked away basically on top and walked away from millions and stuck by their plan. I don't even. The only guy I can think who've done that in sports who still has more money to make.
Well,
was,
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders and Marvin Hagler, who walked away from a rematch with Ray Leonard where he could have caught another 15 to 20 million. He said, "Nope, I'm done."
Yep.
But Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck.
Andrew
Wasn't
Luck?
Due to injury,
Andrew
though, right?
Luck.
That was injuries.
Yeah.
He was tired of getting beat up.
Yeah, for him, though, I think it was an injury.
Plus, you know, too many shots to the head is too many shots to the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Stanford guy.
You don't need it, right?
He's probably
got some $2 million a year executive job right now.
He majored in some kind of engeering thing. He's good.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, one more if you want it or no?
Okay. We're done.
All good.
Save it for tomorrow. Coming up next for you, the pandemic has been very bad for sex.
The pandemic.
I will explain that coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. For show. What are we listening to? I feel like Ellen Kay is about to pop on.
What? Michael's fired up in here.
The pandemic.
Love songs along.
Is this supposed to be like music to get someone in the mood? Because
this
I feel like
so
it doesn't
not.
Work. That's not what we talked about.
Lindsay, I would laugh.
But I was thinking more like, you know, like.
It's getting jazz, hot in here.
Yeah.
Or
like,
Marvin Gaye,
let's get it on.
But isn't that too obvious when you play Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing or something
Sure, but I sure wouldn't be getting all excited over this music. That's for sure.
Candlelight, this music, some champagne, roses.
Absolutely not.
Oh, this sounds. You play this during dinner.
Yeah, this sounds like an elevator. Yeah. This kind of sounds like the kind of music.
There we go. That's good. That's good. Stick with
all
the
right,
classics,
let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, man, you girls.
Yeah, Michael and I were on the same page, right, Michael?
What's that?
Jeez. So, you know, the setting up the scene.
Yeah, the setting.
You guys are old school. Nowadays, they just want to get right to it, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, you raise an interesting point. People want to get right to it. That is not true. So nearly, this is a survey, 2,900 people who are single between the ages of 18 and 40 years old have been surveyed.
Yeah.
And 49% of them did not have sex during the pandemic.
Damn, that's a drought.
That is a huge drop.
That's a drought.
Now, because of that, they've turned to other things. So, for example, now singles between the ages of 18 and 40 are going to rely on video chats, sexting, and phone sex to get to know somebody, as opposed to seeing them in person.
It's like that movie, right?
It's tough to get in the mood with a mask on. Get it?
True, it is. Well, and the other thing is,
Kissing through the mask? Come on.
Kissing through the mask? There was not a lot of that going on.
You skip the kissing.
Six in 10 now say that their relationships should start with video chats, sexting, and phone sex to see if they're going to be compatible and if they're going to get along.
Really?
Now, have you ever done, because I guess even Match.com now has face, you can talk to somebody almost like FaceTime. Have you ever done a video chat for a date, Linz?
No, I wouldn't do that. I think that's weird.
Yeah, you want to do it first face-to-face.
You know, what's funny, though, is my roommate actually met a girl during the pandemic. He met her, it's like 6 months ago, maybe? And they're still dating to this day. Yeah. And they even now, I guess she lives maybe like an hour away or something. They still, every night, pretty much every night, they sit out there and they watch movies together on FaceTime. And they FaceTime all night and stuff. And like, she's a great girl. I like her. I'm happy for them.
So here's what I would say, Mace. I have a couple of single friends and I live vicariously through them. Because I've just been, Nevin and I have been together for like 20 years. I mean, we've been married for 11. I gotta do that. I think it's 11. I don't know. We've been together for like 20, and we were married for 11 years. Okay. So, my single friend, there is a whole thing about when you meet somebody now, you meet on dating apps or whatever it is. And there was before there was vaccinations, you would have to say, you would talk for a while, and then you say, okay, I'll go get tested. And you go get tested.
Right.
And then we can go meet up.
Sounds like something else. Like, I'll go get tested. Whatever.
You have to trust them. It's not like you send screenshots of your COVID test results.
Right. You got
to
show
proof. You're good.
Right?
I'm good. Let's roll.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a sort of like honor system of like, yeah, I got tested last week. I'm good.
But are your single friends now doing video chat, sexting, and phone sex?
No, my single friends, like some of them, once they got vaccinated, it was all over. Then it was like back out on the market.
47% of all these singles, 18 to 40, say they had phone sex during the pandemic.
Yeah, it starts that way, but then it escalates to like meetups in person, but you kind of have to trust that people are really getting tested. They always go, oh, I'm being COVID safe. If you're not being COVID safe, do you think people are going to admit it?
Exactly.
When they want to get laid.
I turned on the Dodgers game last night. It was a full house.
Yeah.
We won. It's fantastic to see a crowd with no masks, with no nothing. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think the rule is you're supposed to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated.
Yeah.
But I mean, everybody has gotten their vaccination. We're over 70% now in California. We've gotten our vaccination, so we're really safe. But it was so great to see an actual crowd cheering this team. That
52,000 people, largest crowd in North American professional sports.
That's what the Dodgers had?
Yeah, wow. Since the pandemic began.
And Mookie Betts had a great night, and this is the first time he's played before a full crowd at Dodger Stadium. Yeah. Remember, his first game was 2020, so during the pandemic-shortened season. So this is the first time he's actually seen a crowd at Dodger Stadium. He went 3-for-5 with a home run and 2 RBIs last night, actually, and all of a sudden he looks more like himself.
Actually, it's not the largest crowd in a sporting event since the pandemic, Ramona.
Yes, it is.
Nope. It's in North American.
Canelo. Had 67,000.
72,000.
72,000 at Jerry's World in Dallas for his fight.
Okay.
But, of course, we don't get the credit. Come on.
Yeah, so he's Mexican. You guys don't get the credit.
I don't know. I got tell him, Jorge. He probably said four major sports.
Probably
some kind of.
Well, boxing's a major sport.
It is.
It is a major sport.
It is a major sport.
Well, not one of the four major
One of the four great North American sports. Yeah.
But, Mace, back to your question, do you think that if you were not single, would you want to date, like, get to know somebody, first dates, and, like, that's how you got to know someone was through video chatting? Would you do that?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would. It's a good way to, because I've told this story before, but when I was single, and I'd always set up the coffee date, right? So you're corresponding with somebody on Match.com. You show up at a coffee place, and I would always be really, really honest with whoever showed up there. I would say, look, super nice guy. This is never going to happen. This is just not going to happen. If it was the wrong guy, and it was generally the wrong guy. So I think it's better to just be honest. And I could have figured that out with a video chat without going through the whole part of going to the coffee shop and all that stuff.
This is so lazy. On a video chat, you can't really get the sense of the real person. You know, you got to be around. You got to know how they smell.
Yeah, but I'm showing up blind, you know, Michael. I'm showing up blind.
Bad. Yeah.
Don't you want to see how they live? You know, like, how does he live? How does he, you know, keep himself?
But don't you ever look at somebody?
How do you dress?
I used to look at people and say, yeah, no chance. Yeah. No dice.
That's fine, too.
I know, but
over a screen.
You're like, you were in real life
yes.
the way people use Tinder. Like, in real life, back when you were on the market, right?
Yeah.
You were quick deciding. Nope. Yep. Yep. Swipe left. Swipe right. Yep.
Oh, you'd be perfect for Tinder. Yeah. I feel like you would just be like, your thumb would get like, you'd sprain your thumb because you'd be swiping left so much. Like, yes, no, yes, no, yes. No.
Yeah. You know? You're decisive. I like it.
Yeah, Mace, you've taken out the personal touch.
Mace, you should get like an experimental Twitter account just for show purposes, just to see. Because you know how
Tinder.
We did.
To see what?
Yeah, Tinder. Just to see if like, I don't know how much interest you gauged.
No.
If you like, I feel like that would be
stop.
A thing.
He has a very good relationship. Don't mess with this.
But okay. Well, what
you
if
think
I like,
Juan
made
would
it?
Be okay with this?
I know he would absolutely
not, at all.
Not be okay with this.
Yeah, not
no,
at all.
And it's been 15 years. There's no, nothing's going to break
that.
But if
you're secure in your relationship, couldn't you like take a little dating technology for a test drive for like the show?
Well, I do have a burner. I could do it with my burner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and KD both have burners.
Meeting someone over a screen is so sterile. It's like looking at food on TV and licking the screen
but
to
Michael,
see what it tastes like.
That's a good point, man.
That's a great analogy.
You know what? You're old school, though, because, like,
I'm
old school, too. Like, I think you should have a real date. You should see people in person. You get a different vibe from them.
Exactly.
But when you do stuff, but kids these days.
Kids these days.
I mean,
lazy.
It's kind of a different world. It's lazy, and they break
up
over
text, too. Let's see if it's late. 877-710-ESPN. Have you been doing video chats and sexting and phone sex during the pandemic? Or have you actually been hooking up? The pandemic. Okay. The pandemic. 877-710-ESPN. And Michael, coming up next.
Yeah.
One of your favorite subjects.
Ooh, it's boxing?
No.
Why soap operas?
No.
Wrestling? Hallmark movies.
No.
Lindsay's love life.
Yeah, Lindsay's love life.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm determined to find her a good man.
That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
You never know. So
tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we were talking about Michael Thompson's hanging out. Momo's in for John. Jorge's here. Lindsay's here. We were talking about this idea that during the pandemic, people 18 to 40 did not hook up. Over 50% of them did not hook up at some point during the pandemic, and they turned to things like sexting and phone sex and video chats. Salim is on the line from La Crescentia. Salim, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. So what's up,
so,
Salim?
I honestly, it was before the pandemic, a year before the pandemic. We dated, we met online. And ever since then, since the pandemic, we've just been, you know, talking and dating. We actually met and hung out. We never done like sexting or anything like that. But
right.
Yeah.
So but you met online.
Yes, definitely.
Did you meet on Match.com or one of those?
No, it was this different app called Tagged.
Tagged.
It's like a Tinder kind of thing. Yeah.
Never heard of that one.
And is this?
Yeah, it's a different app. Yeah.
Is she the one, Salim?
I'm hoping she is. Honestly, we've been dating for a year. I honestly love her. She loves me. Like everything's been honestly going gravy. So far,
that's
so
nice,
good.
Man.
Honestly,
it's.
Well, I think she's the one.
Congratulations, man! Glad you found the one.
Thank you.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, man. Thank you,
Michael. You found the one.
Yeah, definitely. She walked into a gym one day when I was playing basketball in Portland. And a pair of jeans that I'd never seen before. I went, woo!
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, let me go to Jude in Santa Monica. Jude, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing? Hey, Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Hello?
Yeah. Don't make this bad.
There you go. I like that thing.
That was a Michael Thompson joke.
Yeah, Lindsay and George have no idea what that is.
What's going on, Jude? I don't think we've got it.
Yeah. He's still looking
sorry,
for a song.
Dude. He did make it bad, after all.
Michael.
He did make it bad.
You know what I was saying, though?
Lindsay, do you know what
also,
that is?
Yes, it's a Beatles song.
All right, there you go.
When you're dating during the pandemic, uh-huh. It's a little like being on one of those reality shows or like, okay, I'm a Below Deck fan. Yeah. I watch the shows about the yacht.
Yeah,
yacht
boy, that's some real trash.
Yeah. There's always these boatmances. They call them boatman. Like somebody on the crew always hooks up, and they talk about, "Oh, I love you. I'm serious." Like you guys have known each other for 3 weeks,
yeah. Right?
You've
right.
been together for 3 weeks,
like
and
the
then you're
but don't
get
you sometimes
boat.
Don't you sometimes know?
No,
know right
you know
away.
What it is. They know those relationships never work out. Mm-hmm. It's because you're in the same cramped quarters, and it's the only people you're meeting. It's the only people you're seeing. You're not allowed to date any of the guests, and you're just like a young person on a yacht, and you kind of feel like hooking up.
I'll tell you this, Momo. January 1, 2006, I met Juan. We were moved in a month later.
Wow.
Jeez. You knew, huh, Steve?
Absolute one.
Yeah.
Absolute one.
Okay.
So you are all.
Now, what about Lindsay's love life? What are we missing?
Okay. There we go.
Okay. So, Michael, you were always trying to, like, get me to hook up with somebody, trying to ask me about my love life.
Yeah.
And you always ask, well, why are you single? Why
right.
are you single? Why don't you want to
Yeah, you sound
someone?
Like the perfect woman.
I am. Let me say I am. But I found this really funny tweet that had a link to this story on it. This guy dug up this article from an old magazine from 1889, and the magazine offered a prize to the spinster. That's what they called single people back then, spinsters, who could provide the best answer to the question, why are you still single? They're very funny.
Wow.
And, you know, they gave a, instead of giving a prize to just one person, they published
right.
their favorites and they gave each winner 5 shillings, which is like $26 today.
5 shillings. That's very
uh-huh.
nice. Yeah.
So if anyone ever asks me why I'm still single, especially you, I'm going to give you one of these funny answers. Okay.
Okay.
So remember, these are women in 1889. Okay.
Yeah.
The first one is because you don't need another pet in the house. She says, because I do not care to enlarge my menagerie of pets, and I find the animal man less docile than a dog, less affectionate than a cat, and less amusing than a monkey. So she's right about that, totally. The next one is, men are like bad desserts.
What?
Because men, like three-cornered tarts, whatever those are very pleasing to the eye, but on closer inspection prove hollow and stale.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, lady. That's a good one.
Is this really? Do you dislike men?
No. I just think these are funny.
Yeah, okay.
You know? It's funny. Like I'm too good for the men out there, type of thing. This one says because being single pays better. She said because I have other professions open to me in which the hours are shorter, the work more agreeable, and the pay is possibly better. And my very favorite of them all is because She's a rare find. Because, like a rare piece of china, I am breakable and mendable, but difficult to match.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
Me.
Yeah,
that's me.
That is you. Yes. So you need to meet a Latino or a brother.
That's what.
Why
you
do
drew
you say that?
Right? How did you get that from those answers?
Because Latino men and black guys are very romantic, and they know how to treat a woman.
You're saying white guys don't know how to treat a woman?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just
saying, you did.
No, I'm just saying.
He's just saying
you inferred it.
He believes that black men and Latino men have a tendency to be more romantic than white men.
Yes, there you go, Mace. Cleaned it up.
I don't know if that's true because,
we open doors for you more. We will
probably
cook.
Oh, come on. I open every door.
We will cook for you more, right, Jorge?
That's right.
Yeah. We will pick you up and walk you to your door.
Let me.
You think that they're more chivalrous?
Yes, we are.
Okay, let me go to Paul up in the Bay Area. Paul, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm out here just working. But, hey, I just want to say I agree with Michael, man. I got burned one time, man. I met this girl online, and, Sabas, man, she didn't look nothing like
Yep.
Everything.
That's right. And you can never trust the background in these Zoom calls. they could be photoshopped.
Correct. So you've had no luck, Paul?
No. I've gotten it down, during this pandemic.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, online stuff, I don't mess with that, man.
Don't mess
trust
with
those
that.
Girls
right.
online.
Nothing wrong with telling a lady, hey, meet
Got
me
it.
At Fleming's. Meet me at Morton's.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Meet me at the taco stand, right? All these good food trucks now.
Yeah. Meet you at Danny's.
Yeah, something like that. Come on.
Right.
Come on, mate. Stop being so lazy.
Let me tell you something. What women want, okay?
Ooh, yeah.
They literally just want a guy who has some confidence. Enough confidence to actually ask them out in person, not with a stupid text message, not with a DM, not with a unsolicited D pic.
An actual phone call,
okay?
Phone calls I don't do.
Wait,
phone
really
calls
quick,
anymore.
Ramona, yes. on my Bumble profile, that's the only dating app I have, it specifically says no unsolicited D pics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course.
It's pretty bad that I have to write that, right?
It is.
It's so late. And to me, it is like, it's really simple. Just have a little bit of game, call and ask me out. Most girls, if you call and ask them out in person, real life, on the phone, we're really having a call, they'll say yes.
That's right.
Well, the reality is you often see beautiful women with, I don't want to say unattractive, but less than handsome guys.
Look like they are with their dads.
Right. And the thing
Sugar
is,
daddies.
They just have the confidence to walk up and say, hey.
That's right.
You think about the beauties in Hollywood, all these beautiful women, and somebody's going to walk up and say something to them. Let's go to George in L.A. George, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Yeah, during the pandemic, I've been doing a lot of online dating. It's about volume, too, from both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides. But the problem with the being the pandemic, it's hard with online dating because my wife is at home all the time.
Yeah, that is tough.
What did you say your name was again?
But I'm kidding. My last name is undisclosed.
Undisclosed last name. There you go, George. Well, it sounds like you're hitting the ball with power to all fields. Congratulations, George. Thank you very much for the phone call.
That's right.
Yeah, it's tough because your wife's around.
Lindsay, how many guys ax you out on OnlyFans?
Quite a few.
Well, what's the problem?
I I've told you a million times, I'm not really interested in dating someone right now because it's honestly too much work. Uh-huh. And I just don't care about it right now to the point where especially with now, maybe once things are opening up and people can meet in social settings, I feel like trying to culture
it's open.
A relationship
it's
online.
Open. I walked in without a mask on today. It's open, Lindsay.
True that.
No more excuses.
On Friday morning, me, Linz, and Bergman are going to get together and shoot a hype video because they're trying to get on this game show. And this will be the first time I see Lindsay since March of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
That is amazing. And we work together. How would you say we work together? Pretty well, right?
We work great together. Very closely together.
Very closely
I think we were. I think, honestly, I think that now that we'll all be able to get back in studio, I think that the way that we've been able to work together all in different places, I think it'll just make the show that much better once we're all in person again, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Hey, 710 ESPN wants to honor volunteer coaches and youth sports leaders by awarding them an honorary ESPYs award. If you know a youth sports coach or leader who has contributed to their local community, nominate them today. You can email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. I should repeat that. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Include first name, last name, and city, and a short paragraph on why they deserve the honorary ESPYs award. Three finalists will be selected and interviewed on the air the week of June the 21st. Mason, Ireland, Radio Tinder next, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lindsay's here with a bunch of stuff. Linz, what do you got?
Yes, and like Morales said, make sure to follow me on my Instagram at Lindsay Baseball.
Oh my gosh.
At some point.
You know what? Is that what I was like with the podcast?
Yeah.
Did you know I had a podcast?
Yeah.
What if I told you?
I wouldn't have known if you didn't mention it, Ramona.
I mean, you're with the following on our Lindsay Baseball. I mean, was I as bad as...
You mean like irritable?
No. Like,
oh, you're calling me irritable?
No. I don't think you're irritable. I think, let's see, what's the word?
Not irritable. Obnoxious. No.
What if I told you?
There it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, play that music again. I got
what if I told you?
He's got an ego rush right there.
You know what that says to me? That says, I'm so smart. I have a story, and I'm going to tell you, and you're going to love it. Yeah. And to me, it's almost like you're being all knowing. Like,
well, I didn't say
smart.
I didn't make that up. That's like the 30 for 30 brand.
What if I told you?
I'm not the first person who said, "What if I told you?"
Who made that up? Was it Bill Simmons who made up that saying?
I don't know. But that's how every one of them.
That's how all of them start.
Yeah, come on. I didn't.
Linz, what do you got?
All right. So TNT's Reggie Miller, who's calling the Nets Bucks game last night, may have produced the worst NBA related tweet of the year. So last night, we all know KD had an impeccable game, just like otherworldly experience. He scored an impressive 49 points in 48 minutes and carried his team to a 114-108 win over the Bucks. After the game, Miller took to Twitter to make a very bizarre suggestion for the Nets in their upcoming Game 6.
Okay.
He wrote, quote, "I'm just going to throw this out there to see what the responses will be. If you're Steve Nash," mind you, he didn't put your apostrophe R-E, he just put your as in possessive. Okay. "If you're Steve Nash in the Nets, would you sit James Harden and Kevin Durant in Game 6 because of the heavy minutes tonight and push all of your chips to the center of the table for Game 7? Is this the worst NBA tweet of the year so far?"
That's the stupidest thing I have ever heard. You're going to... Now, I understand. Look, James Harden did not look right, didn't shoot well, didn't look right. I understand if he might not play Game 6 because he looked very, very wounded. But Kevin Durant is coming off just a magnificent game. I don't know why you would sit Kevin Durant. That doesn't make any sense, Reggie.
You know, it's one of those things that somebody should have told him, put down the Twitter... Put down the Twitter, Reg. Like, he was really excited calling that game. I love listening to him and Marv Albert. Marv Albert on the call last night. That was great.
Yes, Kevin Durant.
He was fantastic.
Kevin Durant.
I can't do Marv. He is.
Try it again, Ramona.
I had one good one, and then it's
yes.
Not.
Yes.
That's definitely Michael. Not it. Yeah. Was that Michael?
That was a good was Michael. One.
You think that's what he said? You think that's, what he, you think that's what he says in the throes of passion?
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about any of that.
Yes.
No. Do you think he yells, bang?
No, that's Mike Green. That's Mike Green.
Bang!
You're right.
Yes!
Michael, what do you think about Reggie Miller's tweet?
That's just... I got to be careful because I like Reggie. Everybody likes Reggie. But, yeah, that's just crazy.
Hey,
that's nuts.
We all do stupid things. You get done with calling a game. It's exciting.
Right.
And you're, like, hyped up. And you're not on the air anymore. So, like, all of a sudden you tweet it instead of saying it on the air. If you would have said it on the air, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But when you tweet it, it just he got ratioed so bad.
Yeah, that's crazy. Ratioed.
He was trending at one point, and he totally went viral. Which he did preface this the tweet by
just
saying,
throwing it out there.
"I'm going to throw it out there to see what the responses will be." So you maybe know, he doesn't really think that.
After he was getting killed on Twitter, did he respond?
I don't think so.
The best thing to do is delete that tweet. Don't give him
a chance
to
delete it.
No, you have to. When you get,
you can't delete it once it goes viral.
No, you can't delete the. I don't believe in deleting tweets.
No, you should. Trust me. There are times you should, because it doesn't matter how many times you clarify, people are just going to go back to your original thing.
Yep.
And they're just going to keep, even if you miss one word or some misspelling.
Yeah, but you just got to let it go. Once you're ending up on like Bro Bible and Bleacher Report, you're going viral. You just got to let it go at that point.
Yeah, but then if you just guys haven't felt anything.
You really can't untweet something.
Yeah, you can't. You have to try.
Controversial or stupid, it is going to hang around.
Trust me. There are times when you need
exactly.
You don't want to keep
Barb
getting
Albert
ratio.
In the throes of passion.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Stop.
Okay.
I still need to eat lunch. Come on.
All right.
So speaking of bad takes, CBS This Morning co-host Tony Daco. How do you say this guy's name? Daco Peel. We'll go with Daco Peel. Tony D. Yeah, thank you, Jorge. CBS This Morning's co-host Tony D gave a very perplexing excuse this morning for a man that was seen in a viral video stealing multiple items at a San Francisco Walgreens before exiting the store on a bike. So Tony D claimed that the man was probably getting something that he needed, and he suggested that nothing should have been done to stop the crime as it was taking place. Here's exactly what he said.
I'm Tony Docapiel, and I saw a guy with a bike, and he left, and I don't think he should be prosecuted for anything. I'm Tony Docapiel from
CBS. That's kind of what he said.
Every one of these idiots who say this, I want that guy to go to his house and take what he wants out of his house.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Agreed. See how you'd feel.
Exactly.
He needed that, whatever, that TV, or he needed that piece of jewelry. Right. So, it's fine. He needed it. Come on.
Well, he's got a point, though. I mean, if somebody
are you kidding me? What
if
point?
If somebody is desperate, Michael, this is the thing. If somebody is desperate and they need something from the Walgreens, I understand. I mean, I'm not saying they should go away scot-free, but I understand why somebody would steal something.
Of course, if they're desperate for food, of course people are going to steal food and stuff. We understand that. But
what was this guy taking?
He was taking an entire grocery bag filled with hair products, apparently.
That's not good.
And also, the thing is, there's so many resources. Like, if you really need help, there's so many resources out there. You don't need to steal.
Tony D seemed to think, well, hey, if he's desperate enough to steal from Walgreens, he needed to wash his hair. He was dirty, whatever. Like, he was saying he didn't think it was worth it for the security guard to put himself in harm's way and attack the guy. The security guard just kind of filmed the guy, him taking off on his bike. So he was kind of excusing the guy for stealing. And I just don't think that,
law in California, if you steal something for less than $900, you don't get prosecuted? Isn't that the law?
I don't know. Is that the law?
I think I heard something like that. Right, Jorge? They don't even prosecute
you. Here's what was hard about that story is the security guard was actually doing what he was supposed to do according to his training. Like, there was some sort of the protocols they put in place for something like this is happening. I think they tell them not to engage. Not to escalate, right?
What is the point of a security guard being there? Because I mean, at the Walgreens up in the Marina Del Rey, there's a security guard there all the time, and he just says hello when you walk in and goodbye when you walk out. Yeah. What is the point of paying a guy to be a security guard if he's told not to engage with people that are stealing? Why is he there?
Yeah, Michael, I don't think you're right about that than a certain number. At our theaters out in Palm Desert, we had a bunch of kids sneak in one time through the back door, and my operating partner was a real hard ass, and he called the police and had all of them arrested.
Wow.
All six of them. And they were charged with trespassing, which is a misdemeanor.
Right.
And they had to pay a fine. I forget what the number was, but they pled out and they paid a fine. It's a misdemeanor, but
yes,
there's a case. Less than $900 is a misdemeanor.
Yes. Yeah, so petty theft.
Yeah.
California law defines petty theft as theft of any property with a value of $950 or less. So most petty thefts are charged as misdemeanors, which carry a sentence of up to 6 months and a fine of no more than $1,000 or both.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just not a felony. It's just a misdemeanor.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we all disagree with Tony Docappio.
Yeah.
And you know what? The possibility of him being mentioned on the show in the future is very, very slim. I don't know anybody that watches CBS Morning Show.
You never know. He might show up tomorrow with a follow up. You know.
You're right. All right.
Always good for an update. All right. Yes, I do have one more. So Kevin Hart, you guys talked about talked about him earlier. I guess he's doing a lot of press as of late. And he is addressing those on Twitter who deem him, quote, not funny. So he posted a series of tweets yesterday in which he addressed his critics, writing, quote, I got time today, ... So out of all these tweets, thing I took out of it was this tweet in particular, quote, I have been the highest grossing comedian in entertainment for years now. I've also been the highest grossing comedian in the box office with over $4 billion in earnings. I've also turned my comedic talent into a place of business and branding and radio and other revenue streams. The hate / slander fuels me to do more. Do you guys subscribe to Kevin Hart's way of thinking that hate fuels you, swipe left or swipe right?
I will say it does fuel me.
Of course.
Yeah.
You with that big ego, of course.
Yeah, I've got. Well, Ireland did this last week, but I'll explain it again. So if you rank a personality on the radio or in television on a scale from 1 to 5, 1, you hate him, 5, you love him. The way it goes for me is I've got a lot of 1s who hate me, and I got a lot of 5s who love me, and very few people are on the fence about me. It's either love him, hate him, and
who
you know
hates
what?
You?
A lot. Oh, some of the tweets I get, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
People do hate me.
Wait a minute. But, you said yesterday that you don't get hate tweets.
No. I get corrections. I get people saying you're saying too much.
I get
stuff like that. I don't get hateful stuff. Mm-hmm. I just get mean stuff. Like we used to read mean tweets around here. I get some mean tweets.
Oh, okay.
But I think that if you're a divisive personality, it's actually good for you. A lot of great personalities are loved and hated. So I'm not saying that I'm not pumping myself up here, but a lot of people hate me, and thank God some people love me.
I don't understand why Kevin Hart would kind of punch down
to
those critics. I mean, he's like you said, he's highly successful, multi-millionaire. So obviously he's very popular and liked, otherwise he wouldn't be successful. So why punch down at those critics who are ripping him? I mean, he's won.
Yeah, I get a lot of this. Of us in the room, I think I probably get the most of this, okay? And there's stuff that'll get under my skin when people will misrepresent something I said or did. Like, I'm like, I really didn't say that. Dang. And I start, and I'll go and I'll clarify it once. Either on a show I'm on here, or I'll do it on The Jump, or I'll do it on Around the Horn, whatever, okay? If I clarify it once and I still get the same stuff where somebody wasn't listening, they didn't see it or whatever, I'm not going to go back to it.
Right.
I'm not going back to it
because
I think it demeans you. Like, do you know how many times I've had to say, I really got that Hawks-Knicks series wrong, okay? I looked at it. The Knicks beat the Hawks 3 times in the regular season. Didn't realize Atlanta was that good. And then obviously Atlanta beat them in 5, okay? I picked the Knicks in 5. Not a good pick.
Right.
Was not meant as disrespect to the Hawks. Just looked at them. Hey, they lost 3 in a row in the race.
We've all made that mistake.
Like, we've said it so many times, and I still on.
Yeah,
Twitter
I mean, I had Lakers
going,
in 5 against Phoenix.
Yeah. I had Lakers in 4.
Yeah. You said it was over, Michael. You said it was over
before it began.
But do you get like hateful things on Twitter about it still?
Yeah.
No. I mean, like, say it once, move on. Mm-hmm. That's it. You don't need to go and like give these people all this time or energy or whatever it is.
He's a little pissed off because he was going to be the Oscars host, and then they bounced him because they found some old jokes that weren't appropriate or whatever.
And he says he's tired of the cancel culture, too.
I get it.
Yeah, I get that. He's right
about
that.
It does get under your skin. I understand why he does it, because it gets under your skin. He's clarified it. He's done interviews. He said it, and stuff still keeps coming back up from 3 years ago of stuff he's already clarified and said.
Exactly.
That's annoying.
I feel like he probably made it a little worse, though, because it's feeding the trolls. And, like, him trying to, like, justify him saying, well, I'm this top grossing comedian, right. and this made yeah, this much money, and this did this. I feel like he just makes himself sound like a pretentious a-hole.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's true.
You're right.
There's not much upside.
No.
All right, coming up next for you, we will get into this story about Tyler Glasnow and substances on the baseball,
stuff.
Which has taken a turn. We'll get to that. But also coming up next, three big movies came out on this exact date years ago. And I want to look back at those and have a question about one of them. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.